Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Well, it's always fun to run the 4x4 and you never really feel great by this time of the championships, but it's just all about getting out there with your teammates. You know, there's something special about that. So just dug deep and wanted to, you know, have a good leg for my team.
That's American Allyson Felix, the most decorated athlete in the history of the IAAF World Championships. The 31-year-old Felix won two gold medals and one bronze at the championships, which ended Sunday in London. On the final day of competition in the British capital, Felix won gold in the 4x400 meters team relay, a day after winning gold in the 4x100 meters team relay. Allyson also earned a bronze medal in the women's 400 meters final to give her a record 16 medals at the World Championships. Allyson Felix has also won 9 Olympic medals, including 6 gold, during her great athletics career. She says she would like to hang up her track spikes after the 2020 Tokyo Games in Japan.
Well, I would love to make it to 2020. That's kind of my goal. I would love to end my career there. And so, but, you know, I'm just kind of seeing where life takes me. And as long as I'm enjoying it and having fun and still, you know, at an elite level, then I'm happy to continue to reach that goal. So that's kind of my mindset.
Allyson Felix was one of the veterans on a USA team that dominated the medals table at London 2017. The Americans won 30 medals total in London, nearly 3 times as many as second place Kenya. Breaking down those 30 medals, Team USA tallied 10 gold, 11 silver, and 9 bronze. As I told my friend Maxwell on Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM in Nigeria earlier Monday, I know USA Track and Field, the governing body for athletics here in the USA, must be very pleased with the performance of the American squad in London. In addition to those gold medals in the women's 4x100 meters and 4x400 meters team relays, 5 American women won gold medals in individual events. Let's give them shout-outs. Emma Coburn, the surprise winner in the 3,000-meter steeplechase, Brittany Reese in the long jump, Phyllis Francis in the 400 meters, Corey Carter in the 400 meters hurdles, and Tori Bowie in the 100 meters dash.
I kind of had an idea, but I didn't know. I didn't want to get up celebrating too soon and look crazy. So I just kind of like wait until, you know, just sat down and waited till they put on the board to confirm it. You know, and at that moment, I was like, it finally happened. Finally, everything's finally paid off, all the sacrifices.
In men's results at the World Championships in London, 3 Americans won gold. Justin Gatlin in the 100 meters dash, Sam Kendricks in the pole vault, and Christian Taylor in the triple jump. In the 100 meters, Gatlin knelt on the track and then bowed to the retiring Jamaican superstar Usain Bolt, who won the bronze medal and later hurt his left leg in the 4x100 meters team relay, a disappointing end to maybe the greatest athletics career of all time. The silver medalist in the 100 meters, Christian Coleman of the USA praise Bolt.
You know, he's done some things that, you know, 20 years ago, you know, not many people would even, you know, thought could be done. You know, he has the record in the 100 and 200, so, you know, he's pretty much like the greatest of all time, you know, right now, so.
The 60,000 fans at the Olympic Stadium on Sunday in London cheered for Usain Bolt in his final world championship, and the Lightning Bolt heard their cheers.
For me, it was brilliant, you know what I mean? The support hasn't changed, you know what I mean? I expected this. It's just really sad that I have to walk away now. But the energy of the crowd was outstanding as always, and I really loved them. They made me feel so at home and so welcome. My fans really loved me, and I really appreciate that. For me, I was saying goodbye to the fans, and for me, I'm just saying goodbye to my events also. These are my two events that I've dominated for years. So I was just saying goodbye to everything, you know what I mean? I think I almost cried. It was close, but it didn't come. but I was just saying goodbye. That's pretty much it. I was saying goodbye to my events.
Usain Bolt talks about how he almost cried at the Olympic Stadium. On a happier note, the Lightning Bolt says he was delighted with the performance of his favorite football club, Manchester United, in their season-opening 4-0 victory over West Ham.
That kind of put a bright smile on my face today. We looked impressive, you know what I mean? From the start, we played good. We attacked a lot more than we normally do throughout the season. So I was very impressed. All the players play well. I can't really find anything bad to say about the team today. There were a lot of standouts. Lukaku played well. Rashford stepped up. And Matic was really good in the middle. So, yeah, that kind of helped my day today.
Glad Man U helped you out, Lightning Bolt. Chin up, buddy, chin up. You certainly had your share of athletic thrills. Just ahead on the Sunny Side of Sports, reporter Samson Omale will take a look at some of the African highlights at the World Athletics Championships. But first, let's take a break for these Voice of America programming announcements.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, troubling times in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The United States says it's concerned at the inability of both the DRC government and an opposition coalition to implement a political transition agreement reached last December. A DRC political discussion.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength. A man was calling out of Frankfurt, Maine. I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength. Singing, come back.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Reporter Samson Omale joins us now with some of the African highlights at the 10-day World Athletics Championships in London.
Kenya coming second behind the United States on the overall medal table with 5 gold, 2 silver and 4 bronze medals. South Africa took the third spot with 3 gold, 1 silver, 4 bronze medal. On the final night of the competition on Sunday, Asbel Kiprop failed in his bid for a fourth consecutive 1,500 meters gold medal at the World Athletics Championship, but Kenya still celebrated a dazzling 1-2 finish with new champion Elijah Manangoi leading home Timothy Cheruiyot in 3 minutes 33.61 seconds.
Become a world champion, it's not a very big not an easy thing, you know. It's not a joke. I've trained well, up and down. So I'm really happy about becoming world champion.
Olympic 5,000 meters medalist Kenya's Hellen Obiri claimed her first major when she ran a tactical race to dethrone Ethiopian Almaz Ayana of the world 5,000 meters title at the Olympic Stadium in London on Sunday.
I think I'm so grateful. It means a lot for me because I've training hard. This year I was focusing to win world championships. My dream was to win, and I've done it.
In the 800 meters event, Caster Semenya won her third world title using her finishing trick to sweep past Niyonsaba, Burundi. Semenya won with a season-leading 1 minute 55.16 seconds.
Of course, this is a perfect ending. You know, we had a bronze in Tau 5, gold in 800 meters. Obviously, we're the best in the two lap. So we quite thrilled with the performance. We happy with the PB. It's a national record. It's amazing, you know. It's all about hard work and dedication.
Speaking shortly after picking up her silver medal in the 800 meters event, Francine Niyonsaba of Burundi said she was excited at the opportunity to have a podium finish at the World Championships.
This medal, I think, it is a key for the Burundians. All Burundians are very happy. I knew all Burundians were watching me, so I'm so excited.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on The Voice of America.
Turning to tennis, for the second week in a row, young German star Alexander Sascha Zverev has lifted the trophy at a top men's tournament. The 20-year-old Zverev beat Swiss star Roger Federer in straight sets 6-3 and 6-4 to win the Rogers Cup in Montreal, Canada. Our Voice of America tennis fans will remember Sasha also won the City Open tournament here in Washington last week. Montreal marks Sasha's fifth title of the season and sixth of his career. 2017 has proven to be a breakout year for Zverev, who got even for a lopsided loss to Federer in June at a grass court tournament in Halle, Germany. This Montreal event was played on hard courts, and it also ended Federer's winning streak at 16 matches. Sasha used sharp ground strokes to keep Federer from taking control early in Montreal, and Sasha got the only service break he needed in the first set. Hey, Sasha, talk to us about your serve and your ground strokes.
Try to be as aggressive as I can. You know, if Roger starts being aggressive with his forehand or his backhand, it's not going to be an easy day for me. So I tried to take as much time away as possible on both those strokes, and, you know, it worked out well today.
It's been working out very well for Zverev in recent weeks as he gets ready for the U.S. Open, the year's final Grand Slam tennis tournament that begins August 28th in New York. Sasha, though, isn't quite ready to make specific goals for the U.S. Open.
No, I have to go match by match, obviously. I know that I'm playing well, but I know that there's other players playing very well, and I know that there's other players who are going to be the favorites. You know, just match by match and see how far I can go.
Also in Canada, Elena Svitolina of Ukraine defeated Denmark's Caroline Wozniacki 6-4 and 6-love to win the Rogers Cup women's singles title. While the men played in Montreal, the women played in Toronto at the Rogers Cup. This was the fifth WTA Tour title of the season for the 22-year-old Svitolina. She used powerful ground strokes and a big serve to keep the sixth-ranked Wozniacki off balance. Top tennis players getting ready for the U.S. Open in New York. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us now is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Monday?
Well, Sonny, we have three stories where it's bad news for some big names in sports. And we'll start with the first of those three stories, the one that you were just talking about. Bad news for Roger Federer there up in Canada, facing off against 20-year-old Alexander Zverev of Germany, and Zverev beats him in the final of the Rogers Cup there. Federer had said before this match that it was the chance to play against the future of tennis.
Interesting.
And
wow.
So that's a lot of what the talk is about in wake of this win. You know, Zverev, as we've talked about on the show, had won the City Open last week. Now he's won at the Rogers Cup. Is he not just the favorite to win at the U.S. Open later this month, but does he mark a changing of the guard in tennis? And some have dubbed this the Summer of Sasha, because he's known as Sasha Zverev, Alexander Sasha, synonymous. So the Summer of Sasha, winning the City Open, winning at the Rogers Cup, and looking at the field going forward, you have Roger Federer, who also having some bad news, withdrawing from the Western and Southern Open coming up this week. So questions about his health before the U.S. Open. He has a back injury, so he's taking the week off out of that tournament in Cincinnati, Ohio. You have Andy Murray, who's been injured. You have Novak Djokovic, who's out for the rest of the year. Could Alexander Zverev really make a run at it at the U.S. Open, and could he really stake his claim among those big four that we talk about, Murray, Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic? So lots of speculation about that on social media after this win.
I like how you put it, Andrew, the Summer of Sasha.
Yes.
And also kind of some revenge going on there in Montreal. If we look back, Federer trounced Sasha in the build-up to Wimbledon. I think he took like 59 minutes to beat Sasha in this grass court warm-up tournament, but the tables turned dramatically in Montreal.
They did indeed, and it's the fact that he is so young and doing so well is something that a lot of people are taking notice of. There's been talk in the tennis world that he maybe needs to get a little bit bigger, put on some muscle weight. He talked about that at the end of the City Open when he was lifting that trophy. He said he put on, Alexander Zverev said he put on about 20 pounds of muscle, but even maybe more to go. He's very tall. He's 6'6" tall, so quite a tall guy, very lanky. But if he builds up that strength, there's a lot of thought that he could go even further. Interesting stat that I saw on social media. He is only the second active player outside of the Big Four to win multiple Masters 1000 titles. The Masters 1000 series is just a step below the Grand Slams. So other than Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, and Murray, he is one of only two active players. The other is Joe Wilfried Tsonga of France. Tsonga is much older than Alexander Zverev, about a decade older. So the fact, again, that he is so young, and he's already won multiple Masters 1000 titles, I think he's going to have a very great career in tennis.
Andrew, I remember your recent interview with tennis pioneer Donald Dell and kind of a funny anecdote where he was urging Yvon Lendl to smile more during news conferences. He always came out with this stoic visage there behind the podium. If I look at this young kid from Germany, Sasha, he seems very comfortable up there talking with the media. I mean, you had a chance to ask him some questions.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a back and forth, I noticed, at the City Open. There were some questions that he kind of gave some, I guess we could call maybe a little snarky answers, but definitely not a shirking violet or anything like that. Definitely comfortable up there with the media. The one interesting takeaway from the City Open when we talked to him at that press conference, he is not on social media. And so that's going to be interesting if that's something, if we've talked about with folks like LeBron James, where they get off social media to try to focus, if he's staying off social media so he can keep focused on the tennis, or if he's going to ramp up that side of his publicity as he moves up the ranks and does better and better at these tournaments.
What other bad news for big players?
Well, bad news for Usain Bolt. Career comes to an end in London there at the IAAF with that injury. But as we saw when he came in third in the 100, fans online say he's a champion no matter what the result of one race. You have to look at his entire career, the world records, the world's fastest man, and nothing's going to take that away from him right now. So Bolt is very appreciative of that. He tweeted out some photos from those moments at London 2017, the happier moments of London 2017. And he tweets out those photos with just one word, humbled. And that encapsulates, really, I think, his attitude. He's very humbled to have given all that he could and humbled to be in a position that he's in. And he elaborates on that a little bit on his Instagram and his Facebook account. He puts those same pictures up and he writes, "In everything, give thanks, #humble, #thankful. So he's very thankful and appreciative. Some fan photos that he put up there with fans holding signs, cheering him on. He also put up on Facebook a photo of his Jamaican relay teammates and said, "Thank you, my peeps. Infinite love from my fans. #lovealone. So a lot of love that he's feeling, even though he's transitioning, this career is coming to an end on the track there. But again, the momentous work that he's done and really the stake that he's made in this sport and in sports generally as one of the greatest athletes in the world, definitely reverberating on social media.
I think one of his fans in London, Andrew, even reminded the Lightning Bolt that Muhammad Ali lost his final fight, but he's still considered the greatest by many. So you can't win them all.
You can't take the measure of a man or a woman by one match or game or race.
Exactly. It's,
you look at their career, and certainly on social media, they are looking at the career of Usain Bolt and saying, "Well done. Thank you for your great work."
Any other bad news for big names?
Yes, not such great work from Cristiano Ronaldo, depending on who you ask. In the Super Cup in Barcelona, he scored a goal and made a little fun of Lionel Messi. He mocked Messi's jersey celebration, held up the jersey kind of as Messi does, and fans saying he was mocking him. But he also pushed a referee during that Super Cup, got a red card, and now we hear word that he's getting a 5-game suspension. Ronaldo fans say the punishment is far too harsh, and they have evidence to prove it. A lot of Ronaldo fans have found a video clip back in 2009 when Lionel Messi pushed a ref during a match and did not receive any punishment. And they say actually in that video, it looks like Lionel Messi gives the ref a little bit harder push than what Ronaldo did in that Super Cup. So they're saying that this is not fair, that Ronaldo's on the hook, Messi should have gotten that punishment, Ronaldo shouldn't be getting this kind of punishment, this level of punishment. But again, as we've talked about time and time again, probably till the end of time, the debate goes back and forth between these two players and their two camps. Who's better? Who's the best player in the world? This is just another chapter in that saga, saying that Ronaldo was persecuted, Messi wasn't, and unfair, unequal.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the August 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States congratulates the people of Rwanda on their active and peaceful participation in the presidential election held August 4th. More than 6.6 million Rwandans cast ballots for Mr. Kagame, according to the official tally, though this number appears inflated. Just over 80,000 voted for the opposition. The government claimed turnout totaled 97.6%. But the electoral process fell short of democratic standards. State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert said, "We are disturbed by irregularities observed during voting and reiterate longstanding concerns over the integrity of the vote tabulation process." The United States commends the Rwandan media for reporting on complaints of harassment of some opposition candidates and Rwandan citizens during the campaign. The U.S. also commends average citizens, the National Electoral Commission, and government officials for speaking out and addressing those complaints. Spokesperson Nauert added, "We applaud the televised presidential debate, while noting that voters' understanding would have benefited from broader participation of the candidates themselves." The U.S. remains concerned by the lack of transparency in determining the eligibility of prospective candidates. It is hoped the new electoral law to be debated in the next session of Parliament will clarify that process well before the 2018 parliamentary elections. Rwandan President Kagame has led the country of 12 million people since his rebels helped to end the 1994 genocide in which more than 800,000 Tutsis and moderate Hutus were massacred by Hutu extremists. Under President Kagame, Rwanda has made great economic strides, but his critics say this has come at the expense of civil liberties and media freedoms. Human rights groups report that his government has used state powers to silence the opposition through systematic repression. A constitutional amendment in 2015 allows Mr. Kagame to stay in power until 2034 if he pursues it. The United States expressed disappointment with the change to the Constitution and Kagame's decision to seek a third term. The United States encourages the government of Rwanda to foster an environment where civil society and all political parties can participate in elections without intimidation and elections truly reflect the will of the people. The United States stands by the people of Rwanda in their efforts to build strong, democratic, and inclusive institutions in order to ensure long-term stability and a democratic, prosperous future for all.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Five years ago, Voice of America made its first broadcast. Today, we broadcast in over 45 languages all over the world. We broadcast in every means that people could possibly want to receive their news and information. We use radio still. We use television. We broadcast for the web, for mobile, and if new forms of communication are invented, we'll be there too. Our mission is really, really simple. We give neutral, fair, objective, independent news and information to people who have no other access to it. And we tell America's story. And America's story is rich and full. It goes from the entrepreneurial climate of Silicon Valley to our great universities to health and medicine and medical advances. It's also the story of America's diaspora, the people who came here from all over the world. I started my journalistic career more than 50 years ago, and here today at Voice of America, I remember just why I became a journalist. It's such a privilege to be working here with the great men and women who are telling America's story and providing neutral news and information around the world. I'm so happy to be here at Voice of America as it celebrates its 75th anniversary, and I feel proud to welcome it into the next 75 years.